The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
Two kids on the block.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Jason Donovan, feeble, sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson, the birdie song. Carly Minogue, that guy Terry off the word. Ruby Wax. Mr. Bean, Yellow Beetle.
Hello, I'm Nick Hancock and I've got a cold and welcome to Room 101. This is the last show in the series as I have to move on to a much better paid job collecting and selling driftwood on the beaches of the Galapagos Islands. This week, comic Donna MacPhail will be giving the show an end of term feel by trying to get her least favourite people, places and pop songs into Room 101, BBC Radio's detention room for the dreadful and dull. And I will be playing the crusty headmaster, accepting or denying her requests with absolutely no recourse to fairness or form. Donna, welcome. You look very sexy in your headphones, I must
Thank
say.
Thank you, yes, it's doing my hair the power of good.
Mm, and your Mac as well.
It's not a Mac.
Oh, it's not a Mac.
It's a casual jacket.
Really?
Mac.
Right, we're going to play in your first tune, and you'll have to see if you can recognise it.
Take off your shoes, put down your hair, turn on the music and we'll get somewhere. Dance, dance, dance till your toes get tan. We're going to have us a ball in the beach. Slice and slice. Hug me a heap.
Well, it was Clive Dunn, but what was the song? That's what I want to know.
Slicing Sands. I just picked any Elvis Presley track off one of his musicals that wasn't a hit, because they were all naff apart from that. The most embarrassing naff slicing sound. Key changes all over the place. He was on drugs.
Key changes? That's
key changes.
Did
you hear those? Middle eight, bridge. I know them all. I've been there.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Well, I tend to agree with you about Elvis Presley's musicals. Slicing Sand, presumably. I think I know which one this is from. It's from Blue Hawaii. Blue Hawaii. Halliwell says, lifeless star vehicle shot on glamorous locations. Angela Lansbury in it, apparently.
Oh.
She must have been really pleased, you know, from the early art movies that she made, like Picture of Dorian Gray, that by the time it came to 1961, she was being offered Blue Hawaii.
Yeah, slicing sands.
Yeah. And good lyrics, take off your shoes, put down your hair, turn on the music, we'll get somewhere.
Put down your hair.
Dance, 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 till your toes get. We're going to have us a ball on the beach. A slicing sand. What's that? Till your toes get. Absolutely no idea about this story.
I think the songwriter just got fed up with that line. Just moved on.
Till your toes get. Oh no, we've reached the end of the line. Case back this line. Excellent. Well done. But it's not going to get in.
Of course, it's not.
Well, for two reasons. It wasn't released as a single, and so, you know, they knew it was crap. It wasn't as if they were pretending. And secondly, nobody knows what slicing sand is, and until I know what slicing the sand is,
fair enough,
it can't go into Room 101.
Fair enough.
So bad luck. Most hated television programme, Donna. Talk us through it.
Catchphrase. Without a doubt.
Do you know, one voice across Britain, before you got Catchphrase in, they were going, it's Catchphrase. This will be Catchphrase, this will.
It is. Catchphrase. Stupid programme, stupid people. Big screen. Picture of a path going up a garden, the word up, and they go, up in the air? And Roy Walker goes, good answer, not the right one. I mean, come on, come on. I mean, there are three-year-old kids sitting at home just saying, come on.
Yeah, and they never have really difficult ones like you can't teach your grandmother to suck eggs, do they?
No, because there are words of two syllables in that, you see. They have to keep it really simple.
You can't.
Grandmother.
Grandmother, thank goodness. I was getting there and I thought, no. It is a truly bad program, but Roy Walker, consummate professional.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be a proper has-been until you've done a quiz show of that stature.
Yeah, he's never been, surely.
This is true.
You can't be a has-been until you've been a had, really, can you?
Mm.
Anyway, yes, he definitely gets in because obviously Catchphrase, as everyone knows, makes That's My Dog look like Panorama. So Catchphrase gets in quite comfortably. So let's open up those doors to Room 101 and see what we can hear inside.
You picked a fine time to leave me.
And that was?
Guy with a big beard.
Yeah, correct.
Two hungry children and a cat in the field or something. Kenny Rogers.
It is Kenny Rogers. Excellent.
They've all got a lot of hair, these country and western people. Tommy Wynette and Dolly Parton and Kenny.
That's why Yul Brynner never made it in the whole country world.
Mm.
Right. More music now.
We But you must not be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Messiah. And you must call no man on earth father, for you have one father, and you are all brothers. And you must call no man on earth rabbi, for you have one rabbi, and he is in heaven. Alas, alas, for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites, that you for those that fools to take them to travel the land, to scour the sea. Then when you got your converts, you made them twice as fit for hell.
When we studied the Gospel according to St. Matthew at school for Divinity O-Level, this was more or less how I imagined a lot of the stuff as I was reading it. We were not having rabbi! There's another rabbi! What is he doing there?
It's David Essex doing an impression of Frank Spencer.
It is.
We have one father and he is in heaven.
It's truly bad. That's from God's spell.
I love it. I love it. He could have, because it's a record, they could have taken it again. You know what I mean? They could have taken a number of takes of that beginning speech for him to get it right, and obviously that's as what he thinks is good.
It's like David Essex couldn't get into panto, but they let him do God's spell. It's so bad.
It is really truly dreadful.
We've actually got a little bit more from God's spell here.
He who comes after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Are you looking for me?
Do you come to me?
Yeah, I just want to get washed.
I should rather be baptized by you.
No, no, look, let it be so.
The 60s had a lot to answer for, didn't it, really? I mean, what is going on there?
Fab, no, no, let it be so for the present.
I know it all.
Listen, I know God's spell back to front because I came from a part of the country where that's all there is to do. Go and watch amateur productions of God's spell.
Now tell me, who was it playing John the Baptist there? Do you know?
Is it Jeremy Irons?
Oh, yes.
I just in the back of my mind, and Julie Covington was in it as well.
Was Mitch Varney in it?
Well, he was. He had to pull out.
That is very, very good. I'm not going to let it in. And it's difficult because I know everyone's out there, all seven listeners, saying, let it in, for goodness sake. She knows it. She wants to get rid of it, but no. You picked the wrong one. If you were going to get a David Essex musical, That'll Be the Day would have been further down the line, but Stardust would have definitely
Enough. The white suit at the end.
Stardust is a load of impenetrable junk, and nobody knows what's going on. I'm going to tell you something about David Essex. David Essex has been on the UK charts in his career for 196 weeks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't say something about declining educational standards in this country, then nothing does. You see? We can take ourselves seriously on this programme as well. Okay, and you brilliantly did a little segue in the middle of there, talking about going to see amateur productions of God's Spell about where you come from. And this is your most hated place, and it is
East Anglia. I was brought up a lot in East Anglia, and there is nothing to do there. And I was brought up in particular in a town called St. Neots, which they were so pleased because it had a market, they forgot to put anything else there. And there are 100 pubs in the area of St. Neots.
Are there more pubs per head of population than any other town in Britain?
I would not be surprised.
Because that is like a thing that everybody says about
their hometown. I would not be surprised. There's nothing to do there but to drink real ale and watch amateur productions of Godspell. Godspell is very popular in East Anglia. You could actually take O-level Godspell at my school instead of maths and still get to university. Well, University of East Anglia, anyway. But it is, the whole of East Anglia is dreadful, and they wonder why they've got such a problem with drugs and young people, and it's because there's nothing else to do. It's flat as well, no hills.
I have to believe you, and I'm going to let East Anglia go into Room 101. But my reason for letting East Anglia go into Room 101 is that I can't say East Anglia ever without the two words, mainly arable, coming into my head.
O-level geography, am I?
Well, I don't know what
it means. Did you have to colour that bit of East Anglia brown and then in a key code at the side put mainly arable?
Yeah, all that has gone. All I know is East Anglia, mainly arable. Anyway, I think we've done for East Anglia, so let's open up the doors of Room 101 and chuck it in.
Let the wind blow high, let the wind blow low, through the streets in Mackie style go. All the lassies say hello, down the first year trousers.
You're looking nonplussed. Presumably you know what that was.
It's Donald's Where's Your Trousers, I think, by some Scottish
git. Hey,
watch it.
By, what's his name?
Andy Stewart.
Andy Stewart, yeah.
Not by the little 7-year-old boy who needs a smart smacking and being sent to bed.
No, yeah. It's not by him. Anyway, that's in Room 101.
Obviously. Is it?
It's not a very inspired choice, and again, I'm disappointed with the producer for not finding something better, really.
I'm embarrassed.
But there you go. I wanted to... Now, every time I say, so let's open up the doors of Room 101 and see what's inside, I'm hoping to get some work on Jack and Uri, because I think I say that rather tenderly.
Mm.
Do you think I did?
Mm.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
Okay, most hated film.
Most hated film.
You can't remember, can
you? I can't remember what I said.
I'll give you a clue. Play it, Sam.
Oh, yes. Casablanca.
Oh, I was thinking of something else.
Casablanca. Now, I chose Casablanca because everybody else likes it.
Oh, you little mink.
And what happened was that a long time ago, somebody saw it a bit drunk and said that was quite good and passed it around. And now everybody just says it's really good, whether they've really liked it or not. And I think that's... I don't think it's a good film. It's in black and white. And Humphrey Bogart is ugly and probably has bad breath, and that's all I have to say about it.
I've never seen Casablanca, and that's quite a good thing to say.
That's
good. Humility, where you have to say things you've never done.
I've never watched it all the way through.
I've never not been stood up on a date. My favourite description of Casablanca was on the Harry Enfield show with Wayne and Waynetta when he came back and he said, what happened in the film? And she said... She got on the plane and Humphrey Bogart never. And that was their summing up of the film. And I think that's a very, very...
I think that's very astute of them. Yeah. I think that was the main point of the film.
Yeah. I'm not going to let it go in.
I'm not doing very well, am I?
You're not. It's very pleasing to me that the producer of this programme has failed to get anything from Casablanca to play in here. And she said... She was going to put it in later when she edited it. I don't want the public to be cheated like that, and I'm going to tell them that she hasn't got it ready on the day, okay? So that's why it isn't going in, because it can be used to humiliate Lister Evans, the producer of Room 101. More music, please! When the Radio 1 listeners poll is finally done, when the top 100 is done, it's going to be up there, isn't it? Anita Dobson, Anyone Can Fall in Love.
Actually, I haven't heard that for ages, and that's quite nice now. I quite like it now.
Really?
It's quite, yeah.
Are you feeling all right?
No. I mean, I think what happens is that somebody gets a bit of a part in a soap, and then someone tells them they can do anything, and they give it a go, and then people believe it and buy it.
We caught on to it, didn't we? See, David Essex, 196 weeks. Anita Dobson, follow-up single, got to number 43 for 2 weeks. Goodbye, Anita. You've outstayed your welcome. We've had a whip round for a taxi for you and raised £500,000. Please leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was good about this, as opposed to Nick Berry or any other soap star who's made a song, is that they took the theme tune from the soap, which was never written with words, and tried to put words to it and got away with it.
It's a completely brilliant precedent and one that should be followed up, obviously.
Absolutely.
Even if newsreaders released singles with, like, the theme music from the news and then just added some words in.
Yeah, or Brookside.
Brookside, excellent.
I'm going to Liverpool today. Like, I mean, excellent.
Yeah.
And also, Anita Dobson is partners with Brian May, which just makes me laugh because they've both got all that hair.
Mm.
And the static electricity.
They're never photographed together, though, you see. They share that hair.
Same wig.
It's exactly. We know that, don't we?
Yeah.
Anything else to say about that one?
No.
Already chosen by Annie Nightingale, I may say, on the first series of Room 101. So it wasn't in for Annie Nightingale, so it's not going to be allowed into you.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I thought maybe if I was a different person, it would, because she phoned me up and asked me to push it again.
Really?
Yeah. She said, look, you know, Nick didn't let it go because I'm a blonde and he doesn't like blondes. Maybe you're a bit mousy. You can just slip it in under the door.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to allow it.
I don't have to be seen as consistent, but it seemed like a good excuse for not putting it in, so I'm being seen as consistent.
Okay.
Bad luck. Something else to listen to now. Bit of culture. Not culture like yoghurt.
If by your heart, my dearest father, you will put the wild waters in this water lake. The sky seems to have poured out a stinking pit. Mother, the sea mounted to the welkin, seek dashes of fire out. Oh, I have suffered with those that I saw suffer.
That's Anita Dobson there, obviously, from EastEnders. No, that was?
That was somebody from The Tempest, Miranda. Whinging and moaning her way down the beach in the worst play on earth.
And also, when they recorded it, they obviously put a seashell right next to the microphone because there's all that wave stuff.
But sadly, you didn't use the Toya Wilcox Miranda, which would have been much better because she has a huge
black list. Mark for the producer there, I think.
Because she's got, obviously, a huge speech impediment, which I'm not saying is a problem at all, but in the context of Miranda, really tops it.
Well, I mean, it may become the fashion. You know, they've got Toya Wilcox playing Miranda. Maybe they'll have Lester Piggott playing King Lear next time, because he's got quite a bad speech impediment.
Has
well.
He? Yeah. Oh.
Anyway, anything else to say about
the Tempest
at school?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't usually read books that I don't like, so I have to think of something from school. And we did Macbeth, which was great, because Lady Macbeth was quite interesting. But I think Shakespeare had to...
What's this Lady Macbeth is quite interesting bit?
She was good.
All right, fair enough.
She was, don't you think? Well, compared to Miranda, who just needs severe treatment. And her dad, Prospero, boring. Caliban put some clothes on. Shakespeare put all his most boring characters in one book and then made us read it.
Hold on.
Like Michael Burke, Harriet Harman, they'd all be in that.
Yeah, you know, patterns beginning to emerge. I think The Tempest was, in fact, Shakespeare's Room 101 play.
True.
He chose all the characters that he'd rejected from other plays, shoved them together in an island and thought, get on with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is exactly what happened.
Yeah. I've never read The Tempest, but I'm going to leave it. Obviously, I've written many essays on it, but I've never read it. Like many other people. I'm not going to let it get in, because although all that you say is true, it does have the saving grace of possessing a character who has the same name as a washing powder. And that's always pleasing to me.
So Caliban.
Caliban, yes. Caliban washing powder. Very good. Okay. More music, I think, now. Maestro.
You're everywhere and nowhere, baby. That's where you're at. Going down a bumpy hillside in your hippie hat, flying across the country and getting fat. Say everything is groovy when your tires are flat.
Irrepressible joy of youth, eh? Saying everything's groovy when your tyres are flat. That's cool, man. That was Hi-Ho Silver Lining by Jeff Beck, of course.
Bad memories for me, because it always was played last at the school disco.
Excellent. I'm so glad that you said that.
You spend the whole night trying to get yourself a snog. You just find one. One slow record is all they give you. Then the lights up, Hi-Ho Silver Lining, and then all the heavy metal victims with the bum fluff and the zits and the long hair start wanging their invisible guitars and the snog's off.
And you thought St. Neots was so different. Exactly the same in the tough industrial heartland, obviously.
Just said that's what the DJ would do. They'd say, let everybody get into a sexual frenzy, start kissing for 2 minutes and then put Hi-Ho Silver Lining on and put the lights up.
I remember in a slightly more repressive way of all the boys suddenly dancing together to Hi-Ho Silver Lining in a big circle.
Oh, yes.
And all rushing together in the middle and sort of doing lots of concerts.
Hokey-cokey, wasn't it?
Well, they did it to Hi-Ho Silver Lining.
Could they not afford invisible guitars where you came from?
No, they'd done and dusted with them early on with the status quo numbers. Yeah, and obviously, I mean, let's get this absolutely accurate. The slow song that preceded it was I'm Not In Love by 10cc.
Absolutely,
obviously.
Yes.
Also, Hi-Ho Silver Lining meant that the cars had arrived outside and your dad had his pyjamas on underneath his overcoat.
And he was cross.
Yeah, probably cross. Mm. And you'd offered to give someone a lift home and he wasn't happy about it because he'd been drinking. Yeah. In fact, we now know that in those days everyone drank and drove.
As you do today.
As I do today, obviously. I'm going not to allow it in because I feel Hi-Ho Silver Lining should be available for all youngsters today to be played. I think at the end of like a really, really fashionable house rave party, they should still have to finish with Hi-Ho Silver Lining. I think the last night of the proms should have to finish with Hi-Ho Silver Lining.
Fair enough.
I think Close Down on BBC television should be Hi-Ho Silver Lining.
All right.
You see, you actually agreed with that.
I agree with you now. I mean, I was getting a little bit hurt that you were not putting any of my things in, but actually it is better for it to be out in the open for everybody to benefit from.
Right, good. Now, Miss Fashion Cloth Jacket, not a peeing, what is it? Mac?
Not a Mac.
Not a Mac.
This is not a Mac.
Pack a Mac.
This is, look, you can turn it inside out, you see. Look. And then it's a completely, totally different jacket.
Yeah, you could turn my shirt inside out.
No, but in a good way. Look, not in one of those naff reversible anorak ways. Look at that.
Actually, business. I have to say, that is the business. If anything's the business, that's the business.
If anything's naff, I think the word the business should go into room 101, actually.
So, on the back of that comment, your most hated object.
Cheesecloth shirt. Now, okay, this is going back to the 70s.
Once you thought cheesecloth shirts were the bisters.
I was actually never too sure, but I went along with it. But the sad thing was that my mother insisted on ironing the cheesecloth shirt. I was the only kid in school with a cheesecloth shirt that had no creases in it. But cheesecloth shirts, what happened was that it made attractive people look very bad. All men had concave chests, whether they had them or not. Don't you think? With the cheesecloth shirt on, they all started to look like Chris de Burgh. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger would look
like
a bit naff in cheesecloth.
Do you think it was conspiracy by all the weedy men in the world?
Yeah, I mean, the 70s were a sad time, fashion-wise, all round, but I think cheesecloth, really, is, we sunk to new levels. There's cheesecloth and Indian skirts that the girls had to wear that were highly inflammable. And there are a lot of cases of women being severely burnt because they caught their Indian skirt on the side of some piece of joss stick or something, and they went up like a torch. And, of course, cheesecloth was very flammable as well, so it was a lot of people burned quite badly in the 70s, all for fashion.
Well, I'm worried, you see, because we don't want to make Room 1 just a sort of big depository for 70s paraphernalia. But, on the other hand, I have to agree that the cheesecloth shirt has no redeemable features whatsoever. And so, on the understanding that we can shove the word the business in with the cheesecloth shirt, we'll allow it to happen.
Great.
Go off now within 5 minutes and probably write a 12-bar, but it wouldn't mean anything because it's, you know, probably the same as the last one.
Now, there's a tester for you. You see, she knows about Godspell, but what else does she know about?
Well, I have no idea who that is. A 12-bar, obviously 12-bar blues. Obviously somebody musical.
Yeah, good. I think we'd all got there.
A man, possibly.
It was a man.
It wasn't Chrissy Hynde. Apart from that, I don't know.
That was the members of Status Quo discussing the relative merits of their own compositions.
Right.
We actually built Room 101 around Status Quo. That was where the idea first came. They were first in.
He's got nice hair, though.
Who?
The man in Status Quo.
You don't know his name, do you?
No. Do you know about cheesecloth, just incidentally?
Oh, we're back on
cheesecloth. Just made me think that the 70s are coming back into style and everybody's wearing platforms and flares, but everybody's just kept very quiet about the cheesecloth.
Mm.
And then nobody's mentioned it or tried to bring it back in.
I think part of the reason is that they don't strain cheese that way anymore anyway, do they? So the cheesecloth, it just isn't about.
And people are more hygienic. They don't want to wear something that's had sour milk in it.
No. More music, I think, now.
Lady in red.
So fitting in many, many, many different and diverse ways that that should be the last piece of music we hear on this series of Room 101. I say this series, there won't be another one, obviously. It is dire, it is dismal. We don't know yet whether I'm going to let it go in Room 101. I'm holding back on that.
Putrid.
Mm.
I mean, actually, this is the official royal love song, isn't it?
Which
Fergie and Andrew fell in love to this song, which is, without a doubt, one good reason it's going to Room 101, but secondly, it is so putrid.
Yeah. I think you've uncovered something significant there with the idea that it was the basis of the relationship between Andrew and Fergie. You shouldn't build a relationship on a basis like that.
Bad mistake.
Is a house built on sand.
Mm.
Is it not?
Mm. Yeah. Sliding sand. Or even slicing sand.
I love that. Now, there's a girl who knows a bat reference. Eh?
I'll have to say it again, though, because I said sliding sand. So I just say slicing sand.
Yeah. I like that. That's clever. There are many sad things to discuss about Christy Bird.
The most sad
is that he ever had any hit records at all. But up to Lady and Registry, he'd only released 2 singles in 4 years, and then he got the habit for it, and he released 9 in the next 3.
Yeah.
And that is deeply sad.
And failed to do something about his hair during that entire time. You wouldn't kiss him, ever. Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, you just can imagine he's the sort of man who'd turn up on your door and go... You'd wipe the floor with him.
Yeah.
You'd knee him in the groin.
Mm.
You'd laugh in his face.
Yes.
Kiss? No.
No. He looks like the man who spent all year waiting for the office party. Because it's his big chance.
And then he wasn't invited.
He's all of those people. He is every man. Every
laugh man.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember the song that he did shortly afterwards? Because he obviously had lots and lots and lots of money, called The Simple Truth, brackets, A Child Is Born. That was brilliant, because he went like on every chat show, and it was like, it was very deep and very meaningful, and he spent a lot of money on the video, and it was all about this child who he'd met in hospital who was poorly or something like that, and it was just going to be really, really big, right? And it never got higher than number 55, and I say, well done, the British public.
Yes.
Well done. And in fact, he's quite an unsuccessful singer, because I was looking at he's had all these hits. For 58 weeks he's been on the British chart, but in fact, if you look at what numbers he's been to, he's got a very, very good batting average. He's around 69 all the way through. He's got a 1 and a 3, but the rest of them are superb scores. 43, 59, 69, 74. Yep. Yeah, I can't think of anything else to say about it than it's sentimental tosh of the very highest order.
Andy and Fergie.
Well, it goes in, and I think at the same time we probably have to arrange for some soundproofing engineers to go in with it to make absolutely sure that there's no hint of it coming back out again.
Can Christa Berg go in also?
Oh, Christa Berg. I mean, Christa Berg cannot be separated from the Lady in Red due to the fact that it's his only moment of pleasure in his whole life, and rightly so. So let's check him in.
I said you'll have to bear your innermost.
Oh, you are awful, but I like you.
Dick Emery.
And that was from a song called Willie. I don't know if we know any more about that song, but that's where it was from. Okie dokie dokie. Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock, and starred guest Donna MacPhail. The producer was Lister Evans. Thank you, Donna. That was great.